Awesome. All right. Welcome to Foundations call number four, ladies. Does it feel like 4 weeks? Raise your hand if it feels like it's been a lot faster than 4 weeks. Because it feels like a lot.
Oh my gosh. Already?
Yes, I know. unless I'm like miscounting, which is totally a possibility too.
No.
Yeah, it's our fourth call already, so technically kind of nearing the middle of the journey in a way. Yeah, it feels really fast for me. But at any rate, I'm excited about our call tonight. And the first thing I want to do is a check-in round like we usually do at the beginning of these calls. So just checking in on where you're at right now, how you're feeling, like in the room, in your body. How's your, you know, even if you want to share a little bit about your day, that's totally cool. We'll keep it brief, but anything that you think would be helpful for us to know as we start to land together as a group. And then we'll, I invite you to additionally share your kind of weekly check-in around the coaching action items and what you were able to get around to, maybe what you weren't able to get around to, and any takeaways or insights that you had. So I'm going to hold space for like 3 to 4 minutes for each of you to do a check-in so we can all get on the same page. We can go a little bit longer if we need to, but just so I have a sense of where everybody's at and how things are going and what you've been able to tackle and any questions you have, takeaways, et cetera. And then we're going to shift into tonight's topics of conversation, and we'll do that for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I'm going to go over some coach kind of fundamentals, foundations, highlights around questions and curiosity and the coaching session and how to navigate and conduct ourselves in a coaching session. And then for the second hour of this call, it's going to be totally interactive. So we're going to do a lot of practice coaching and specific exercises that will help to like connect the dots between what we're learning and how it actually applies in a real setting. So that's where we're headed. Does anybody have any questions before we dive in? Questions or like notifications? Okay, cool. All right. So check-in round. I'll start with you, Herky.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So for me, it was a week of doing my taxes and trying to get that out of the way. Today was the deadline. So done with that. It was busy. I guess with the homework part, I have gone through the questions you sent and some of the stuff, but I am behind, definitely.
Okay.
And Kim and I are supposed to schedule. I got a little confused. I texted Aliana first because I thought it was with her. But anyway, this week has been a bit crazy. So if we are falling behind, I guess, and my next week is with Aliana, this week was with Kim, do we just begin from where we had to start? Like, should I do...
Yeah, I would say start with Kim, and then Aliana will be your next one. And I'm actually going to take a poll. I guess I could just do it right now. I'm going to put a poll in the Facebook group, but I'm thinking about taking next week off for us, to like for all of you to get caught up and like integrate and do some buddy coaching and stuff and like really like digest the material, because we've been clocking pretty quickly through. Well, at least as far as it feels like to me, based on the pace of the group, it feels like there's been a lot of information and like everyone's pretty busy. So, but yes, that's kind of a long-winded way to answer your question, Herky.
Yeah, so that's about it. I will actually pause. Somebody else can go ahead. He needs
okay. Me. Sure. Okay, yeah, no worries. Aww. Hey, Kim.
Hello, everybody. I am feeling I don't know if this is a feeling, but I just feel like I'm adjusting to, or maybe coming to peace with just some things. Where am I? Well, obviously, Herky, as she said, we totally missed each other. I saw it last week, and I thought, oh, I'm going to talk to her many times this week. I saw her twice,
right.
And we still didn't say anything. And then today, I texted her, and I said, I think we missed our buddy coaching. think. So she said we'd talk about it later this evening. So cool. Let's see. And what I really loved about what I read this week was that my intuition doesn't have to be correct. Ooh. So I love that part. Like, if you put it out there and it is not, you know, if you're asking the question to your client and it doesn't match up to what they feel, you can just move on. Like, and it's just, you know, so I thought that was pretty cool because I realized that for me, over time, like, I got really logical, you know, with evidence and things like that, just in everyday living, just a thinker all the time. And yeah, that it doesn't have to be like facts, you know, it can seriously be a hunch and it's not really about right or wrong. So that really stood out to me. Yeah.
Yay, I'm glad that connected with you. And thank you for speaking to the part of us that gets really heady and like logical and wants to like have it the answers or know what to say. And like, maybe if we study enough, we'll have it at the ready. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I mean, that's a very shared, very, very relatable and shared feeling in coaching. It's so vulnerable because we feel like we want to have this tank full of readiness, you know, but then we never know what's going to happen in the moment. And there's like,
right. But you know what's crazy is that when I'm teaching in school, I feel like I have a lot of intuition and it's not about what I'm teaching. It's about what I feel like they need. And it's so fun every day to reach a different class in a different way. Like I don't say the same thing to every class. And I realize, oh my God, like I do it so effortlessly there. In a factual teaching, you know, in that kind
right.
of arena.
It's the most factual container.
Right. And it's so crazy to me. So,
yeah. Oh, that's a great parallel. I love that. I love that. Yeah. You give yourself that permission to like feel a curiosity or a nudge in you, kind right. of reading the group and reading the room. And
yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Good parallel. Yeah. The great thing, and I'll just speak to this real quickly, like the great thing about intuitive questions or like guesses that we have with our clients, it's like, you know, I'm getting an intuitive nudge, I might completely be off about this, but I feel like, you know, I want to put it on the table just in case there's something here. And then we put it on the table for them and they'll be like, no, that doesn't really resonate at all, but you know, they'll like check in with it and but in that moment, like that's an enormous amount of information for both parties. Even right. if it doesn't resonate with them, then we both know, like, okay, no, it's not that thing. All right, let's keep exploring. Let's keep digging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on our side, we can, you know, maybe later on check in with maybe the intuitive nudge was to clarify what the thing is not.
Right.
That makes sense. So either way, it's a win, right? Like, yep. Thanks, Kim. Awesome. How about you, Leah? We missed you last week. Happy to see you here.
Would it be okay if I go next? I'm literally like a block away from the office.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll go to Aliana.
Thank you.
Hi, Aliana. I know that you're with Lowen right now. I'm not sure if you can check in, but if you can.
Hi, ladies. I'm here.
Hi.
Okay, so I would say in regards to intuition, you know, recently I didn't really – I guess I've never truly explored my intuition till now. But recently I wanted to go to Miami to visit my family and I felt this internal nudge that was like, as much as you're dying to go, there's COVID and it's not really the time to go. And I'm so glad we didn't go because some of my family members have COVID now. So yeah.
Sorry.
So I was like, yeah, I was like, holy crap, thank God I did not take Lowen over there. So yeah, and then today I started exploring different exercises that I can do to channel in my intuition. So I am currently working on that. And today I did like a meditation, a light meditation to channel in with my intuition.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. How about the, and I'm so sorry to hear that your family has COVID.
Oh, and it's okay. Thankfully, it didn't hit them really bad at all. They just have headaches and like kind of like the cold symptoms. Uh-huh. So, but they're okay. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. And way to listen to your intuition. It's a really good example.
Super.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And thank you for posting that article in the group about intuition. I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I always love resources around intuition because it's such a intangible thing. So,
of course.
Thanks for that. How about the rest of the action items from last week? Buddy coaching and questions and like levels of listening.
When it comes to buddy coaching, Stacey and I were supposed to link up on Sunday. Different levels of listening. I was able to tune in with my brother because I started coaching him. And that's about it. Yes.
Right. Thank you. I'm going to give Leah a couple more seconds to get to her office. So who is read up to and through chapter curiosity and intuition, I think 4 and 5, whatever it was in the action items. Who's caught up with their reading? All right, we got Kim. Aliana, which chapter are you in?
I'm caught up. I'm actually starting chapter 5 now.
Perfect. Okay. So, oh yeah, I'm just looking at the notes here. Last week was 4 and 5. Okay, cool. All right. And Leah, feel free to just unmute yourself whenever you're landed. I don't want to rush you to check in while you're still en route.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm just trying to set up on the laptop so I can show my face and participate.
Cool. All right. Super. Okay. So we'll wait a moment here for Leah's check-in so we can say hi to her. Let me see if I had another curiosity for you ladies about our check-in here.
I can share about my intuition since I was...
Oh, yeah, great.
So last year I did a 1 month meditation. Last year when I went to India, I came back and there was a 1 month meditation where it was like live stream from India, but it was more doing it on your own rather than the live stream. And it was about intuition, and I really felt a drastic difference after doing that. For a month, there were certain requirements, and for me particularly, I have not done types of disciplined meditation. It's more like, you know, whatever is flowing. Mm-hmm. But this one required you had to like shower everything before sunrise. You have to finish doing everything, and then you have to do some offerings to the sun, and then there's some mantra that you have to chant for 108 times in the morning. And I was working that time too, so I had to finish all that before, you know, going to work and wake up in the wee hours. But it was not only a great benefit of, you know, I felt, and then some in the night also you had to meditate. Night was much shorter on the solar plexus. But I was so proud of the self-discipline that in my life is lacking, but I did it. And it's more like you take a vow. So this is a little bit more on the serious note, like you do it, and it's not like you play around with it. You do it if you take a vow, and if you miss even one, then you've missed. You start over.
Wow.
So I did have fever one day, but I did get up and stuff. So after that, I just felt. I think it was overall such a good way of, you know, of being awake in those early hours where it's so quiet, making sure that, you know, you're showered and you're doing that and stuff, and just doing that focus time for yourself. It was a great experience, and this year when they have it, I think it's around October, I'm going to do it again.
Beautiful. Yeah, I remember that. You did do that. You woke up so early every single morning.
Yeah.
Wow. What were some of the things that you noticed with regard to your intuition, maybe before you did that 30-day meditation and then after?
So So it was not like an instant switch on and off, but definitely I saw that I'm tuning in more to what is coming internally, having more clarity of the message coming through rather than being confused, is it my mind or is it my this? You know, that haze was diminishing and I could sort of strongly tune into what was coming. The disadvantage being it's so clear that you're like certain things that you don't want to deal with, you have to deal with. Overall a great experience.
Yeah. Wow. That is awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Beautiful.
Sorry, I'm almost there.
You're almost, okay. Yeah, no worries. Ashley just hopped on too, so I'll have her check in with us.
Can I ask Herky, where'd you get that from?
This is done by a person in an organization. The person whose book I sent you on mantras, it's by that. I can share the details with you.
Okay.
Maybe we can do it together. We'll make each other up at 4 a.m.
You ladies have fun with that.
Now we're going to call you too, Fawn.
I'm like, no way, I'm central. I'm earlier than you guys. Forget it. Oh, awesome. Hi, Ashley. Happy to see you. I wasn't sure. Oh, I just got a message from you. Okay, cool. Hi, we're doing check-ins. How are you feeling right now? How's it going? And then how did your week go in terms of action items with buddy coaching, reading, checking in with your intuition, and listening? You want to give us a summary of how things are going?
Yeah, I'm good. I've been going since about 7:30 this morning. back to back stuff. So I'm great. woo-hoo.
A little sarcasm there.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. How am I? How have I been doing with stuff? Buddy coaching was good. We just did that. Leah and I just did that like 2 hours ago, or whenever that was, 3 hours ago. both of us seem to be having some crazy, insane, last couple of weeks. So, we were able to do it. But it was good. It was, Leah's great. She, helped me with some stuff and I enjoyed talking to her. And then when I played the coach role, similar feedback to what I typically get. So if anything, I am consistent, in terms of like asking good questions as well as tracking and circling back, to stuff. So, and you know, just, yeah, getting people to dig a little bit deeper on that. But, so that was good. Other action items, I feel like I wrote some of this down and then I totally have forgotten. I feel like I am very, especially now that we're especially now that I'm revisiting some of the like Untethered Soul and I've read The Inside Out and I listened to a webinar the other day on Inside Out, the three principles. I don't know if you guys, know what I'm talking about. Probably not.
I haven't introduced it yet.
Regardless, all of that stuff is very reflective in terms of observing and being aware and listening, and seeing what's going on with your thoughts and just paying attention to them. And so I feel like I do that on a pretty regular basis anyway, especially the last several months or whatever, but even more so, I feel like I've been doing it just with our work here and then some of the other related work that I just mentioned. And I don't know, I just noticed I catch myself a lot if I go down a rabbit hole. I feel like I am good at that. There have been a couple of days in the last week where I've gotten, I don't know, more so gone down that rabbit hole and then I'm like, what the freak. So those are alarms to me that I'm not spending enough time like in silence, or I'm not in control, or I feel like I'm not in control of my time. And so that's one, that's an alarm in itself. But I feel like I'm not spending enough time in silence, or I'm not being able to do some of the things that I like to do in terms of like working out or just having that time for me. So I feel like that's what it serves as now, when I know that I'm not able to catch myself in terms of my, you know, going down whatever rabbit holes. And then, yeah, in terms of intuition, I do feel like I've been listening to that, being able to, one, tap into that a little bit more, but also listening to it. And I think, I don't remember if it was this our last call or a different one of our team calls or another call. I'm not too sure. We have a lot of calls. but I do feel like I don't know, even in the last couple of weeks with some of the stuff that we've started here, just like speak up or say something or listen to it and be like, okay, if I have that thought or if I, that thing pops in my mind, then let's explore it and either talk about it or ask something. I've been doing that both from a coaching and a, consulting or even in my daily life type things. And so, I can't pinpoint as into whether it's just being more aware of that and having some more confidence. I don't know why all this, not all of a sudden, but why I'm, it's probably because we're, you know, paying attention to it more here, but it does seem to be a little bit stronger, if that makes sense.
Yeah, great. Wow, that's, it sounds like there's like openings and openings within openings, right? Like awareness. And then the more aware we are, there's like, whoa, I'm even more aware than I was like last week, or like
right. Strengthening
our ability to allow the messages to come through, or like our brain to do whatever it does to nudge us in a direction.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I noticed that shift in you a few weeks back when you and I kind of had a recalibration we took a look at what was going on with the consults and just how you were feeling in the consults. And then we like kind of framed it like, you learned the rules, now let's break the rules and like show up however you are. Right. That's
Where
I noticed you were like, you felt so much better. You're like, oh God, good.
Yeah. And that plays into, and that's connected to the intuition too. It's like, let me trust myself and do it now that I've learned a little bit, now I can break the rules and fill into whatever I'm filling it.
Cool. Yay, thanks for sharing. Leah, fill us in. How you doing?
I am good. Sorry I missed you guys last week. Last week I was not feeling present enough to participate in this. So this week I am opposite. I am feeling very present and almost like a too bad for everyone else that I'm focusing on something good for me, which will make me better for all of you. So I did take some time off and caught up on some things and prioritized some things and created some space for myself. And things are still not slowed down, but I have a better feel for where they are, and I know where I'm standing within them and where I'd like to remain standing. So that's really good. As far as this week, being in touch with my intuition and my light, it was one of those weeks where I thought I had a dream, and then we were in a meeting and they announced something and I was like, oh, that wasn't a dream, but then it actually was. So very in tune, very appreciative of you ladies helping me touch that special part of the universe. And our coaching practice, Ashley and I, it's funny because I feel like we both felt guilty, like I'm squishing this task into this amount of space. And yet we really created that space for each other and really connected and had some good feedback for each other. So I felt good because part of my confusion around this role playing was, everything we're listening to with proactive coaching and having done this for the first time, I'm like, okay, there has to be a connection and a reason. And so then role playing, how do you role play a connection and a cause? You can't just make that, pretend that you feel this way. but it was easy for us to kind of walk into that and have some good exchanges and some good feedback. And it felt good having felt last week like I was behind and not giving this the attention that I needed to give it. And creating the space for it. It felt good to make the time for it, even though it was squished into the time, and to be able to hear like, okay, we're doing well, and give each other some light and some feedback there. So thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Leah. I'm so glad that you created some space for yourself to do what you need to do in the midst of all of whatever was going on. Thank you for giving yourself that and not just like burning yourself out to whatever extent.
But I'm so good at burning myself out.
Don't tell me that. Just kidding. Yeah, no, thank you though, really for taking, like hitting the pause button and going, whoa, wait a second. Like, I need to dial myself back in and like figure out what I need to do so that I don't, you know, spin out or of control. Or at least it sounds like there was some version of that where you were able to like take some space for yourself. And that's like, oh, just so happy to hear that for you. And yeah, I'm glad that you're feeling on the upswing this week and creating space. And yeah, you, and now that I think about it, I'm like, you and Ashley, totally. I could see how there would be a lot of like similarities in what's going on in ways. Yeah. Cool. Cool. All right, so I'm thinking about, as I mentioned, I'm thinking about having an off week next week where I'll hold office hours. And so anybody can drop in and ask questions during this time slot, but it's not required. And we won't have any additional like homework on the plate for next week. It'll be an integration implementation week to give you all a chance to like go back through or maybe get caught up, and also to really start connecting the dots for yourself about like, how is this all connected and like, what, you know, what is everything? And to practice with each other and get caught up with your buddy coaching, or if you're caught up on your buddy coaching, to do this week and next week's, and then any additional coaching you can do, like coach your ass off. That's what one of my coaches, TC, used to tell me. She's like, get yourself out there and go coach your ass off. And, you know, the more we do it, the more we learn what we're learning, but also the more we tune into our own identity as a coach, like our own archetype as a coach as well, which is a really, it's a confidence building thing, not in like bro-y confidence, but in the confidence that comes when we start to gain like agility and ability in the moment. So, does that sound okay with everybody? Would that be helpful? Raise your hand if an integration implementation week would be of benefit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's the sense that I got. Okay, cool. Yeah. Sounds good. And we can, like, I'm here to serve you ladies. So we can do that. I mean, if we needed to, or if it would serve the group better, I'm open to also like pacing this differently. If we want to do whatever every other week, or, you know, a couple weeks on and a week off or something like that. I think, you know, also the number of these calls is flexible. I had it at like 8 to 10, so probably 10 knowing me, but if it seems like it would be valuable to, you know, to amend that in any direction, I'm open to it. This is the first pilot group, right? So it's all Play-Doh. We get to create whatever works best for everybody. There's no rigidity here at all. The most important thing is that you ladies feel like you're able to like ingest all of this and make sense of it and start practicing and getting your skills. So if we need to slow down or speed up or whatever, like just please give me that feedback, because that's helpful for me. Sound good? Cool. All right. So tonight, so just to recap a bit on where we've been so far on our journey, and I'm just going to highlight a few nuggets. We have talked about shining our light and allowing that light to be tuned in with awareness and presence and intuition. And with those ways of being, we are able to be present with another human being who might have a lot of layers going on in front of their light that is getting in the way of them doing or being or having what they want, or is getting in the way of them seeing themselves for how brilliant they are and how infinitely incredible they are. So through our vessel being dialed and tuned in the way that we've been talking about, we're then able to really like land with somebody else and be with them and be in that space where those like interesting inclinations come in and we put them on the table. And sometimes, well, almost always, it like is very helpful and guiding. And so building these like intangible skills around presence, around being, around embodiment, like the beingness and the vessel of who we are as coaches. And then we've started in the last couple of weeks talking more about some of the practical elements and pieces of coaching. So the coaching session format, right? This like essentially it's a big brainstorming session, but there are these steps that the ICF at least considers to be, a part of that conversation. And then I fielded the core competencies over to you as well to go through and check in with and learn more about in the definitions of those core competencies. So we've been holding space for the way of being in the vessel. And then we've been like adding tools to the vessel so that we can start to actually take action through the through those formats and through those elements. So I'm, again, really wanting to pace this in a way where we're not rushing through any piece of this, even though I'm, there's like, I just want to coach. I just want to learn this, like, start coaching and like, do the things. The pacing is really important because if we skip over any of this, and as far as I'm concerned, I mean, other coaches may disagree, but if we skip through any of this or rush any of it or try to like shove any of these pieces along, it's going to show up in our coaching and it's going to show up in our ability to really powerfully serve other people and have the ability to improvise in the moment well with somebody else. So these pieces, so far we're building a really good foundation, which is why I had you start buddy coaching last week, because you're kind of getting getting the pieces. So tonight I want to talk about, and I'm going to go up to the hour, and then the second hour is going to be all interactive group stuff. So I'm going to share a little bit around some of the nuances of coaching that are helpful to know about that either are in the Coactive book or in the ICF stuff, or maybe are not. Like, some of these are just things that, like, along my journey, I have found really helpful and valuable as well. And what I would love to do is put these on the table with you ladies. You're more than welcome to ask a question at any time. So just, like, shoot your hand up if you're like, oh, that's interesting, or what's that about? And we'll have, like, a little bit of a teaching sesh here for a few minutes. And then we'll take a break, we'll stretch, take a bathroom break, whatever. And then at the hour, we're going to do some exercises where you get to take what you've already been embracing, embodying, and then what we talk about tonight and take that into consideration. And we'll do some interactive activities around that, kind of like what we did last week, which was amazing. But we'll do a whole hour of it this time, because I know last week we kind of like squeezed it in. So does anyone have any questions about where we're headed? Sound good? All right. Actually, on that note, Aliana, would you be willing to share how that was for you last week, being in the hot seat? And just that experience, maybe like 2 or 3 minutes of a share with us?
Yeah, of course. Honestly, I needed that. I think I had so many emotions bottled up, because a lot of times I feel like us women, we're good at wearing masks and we're good at covering our emotions, but then there's only so much you can cover and there's only so much you can bottle up until like you just go tick, tick, boom. And I think last week was like my boom point, and you guys asked the most amazing questions, every single one of you. Afterwards, I felt so light. I felt this lightness. It was so therapeutic. I know that coaching isn't therapy, but but I swear, I felt so good. And it brought awareness to really focus on me, focus on surrendering and just accepting things the way they are and detaching from the outcome, like Herky and I were talking one day. And just focusing on the present moment, because that's where happiness resides and that's where I need to be.
Thank you for sharing that and for allowing your intuition. I think it was on the call last week where you're like, I didn't even know I was going to raise my hand, but it just popped right up there. And like, yep, part of you knew that being held in support was going to be really beneficial. And so just that bravery, that courage to opt into that, like, thank you so much. Everybody, please follow that nudge when it happens. It's so important. And being receptive to the feedback and allowing yourself to like, process it and move it. And that was such a great example of so many things, but the power of allowing emotion to flow and allowing yourself to be honest with yourself in the moment in the presence of somebody else or multiple of us at that point. But yeah, so great. Thank you. Something that I was really, really resonating with last week as I was like watching all of you play or coach. I'm always going to call this playing because it always feels like playing for me, but I don't mean that in like a flippant way. I mean it in a like really positive way. But while I was observing that, I had this flashback momentarily to an experience, like a modality that I completely forgot that I had studied about 4 years ago. And it's an offshoot of the modality of I'll think of it in a second. I just read their email today too, but it's basically circling. That's what it's called, but it's related to a different thing. But someone is in like the center of the circle and it's like 2 hours. It's a very long and deep process and it's like really happening. And there's like a certain format and certain things you can do and not do with regard to like asking or like telling and stuff like that or interrupting people. But nonetheless, it was so powerful because it was just one person that was in the hot seat the whole time and like a circle of people that was, that were inquiring and like just being in presence with the person. And I had forgotten how powerful it is because it's not common in coach trainings or like even group coaching where like everybody is coaching one person. Usually it'll like split off into like buddy coaching or something like that. So I was really moved by the synthesis that was happening between all of you ladies as you were tuning in with Aliana and then kind of not knowing what's going to come next because the person before you has their own information coming in online, you know, and going out. And then tuning into that, and it just felt like such an alive synthesis between everybody and Aliana, like opening up in the middle. It was really powerful for me to witness. So I want to thank all of you for being willing to dive into that. And I know that there's so much stretchiness with being a new coach because it's like, I don't know what to ask. What if the question doesn't come? Like, you know, there's all this like pressure and stuff, but you did amazing, everyone. And Leah, if you haven't listened to the recording, I encourage you to do so. And we're going to do more of that tonight, but I just wanted to thank all of you for how available you were for that magic to play out. So cool. All right. Thanks for sharing that, Aliana. I just wanted to like kind of wrap back around to that since it was on my mind. Okay, cool. So some important info about coaching that is going to set the stage for the activity, a couple of the activities we're going to do. So, and this is, again, this is partially like my stuff and I'll mention when it's like ICF or otherwise. So in my experience, out there in the world, there's like so many coaching niches, right? There's like executive coaching, relationship coaching, purpose coaching. There's so many like niches out there. So what I'm about to say is different from that. I'm not speaking to like niche specific coaching. I'm talking more to the qualitative or the nature of the coaching session. So in my experience, there are three, probably more, but there were three that I could recall as I was prepping for this call. Three approaches for any given coaching session. And sometimes it's two of them, and sometimes it's all three of them. Sometimes it's just one of them. So there's coaching somebody to support them in reaching a goal or a vision that they have. So that's where, like with the ICF model, where the person comes in and they're like, I want to focus on this, whether it's communication with my partner or losing weight, or, you know, there's like an established focal point for the conversation. And we're there to help them move closer to that goal or vision, whether by, you know, whatever happens in the brainstorming sesh with the questions and the active listening and all that good stuff. But it might be that we help them to change their lifestyle or stop doing some whatever's been getting in their way, or we might support them in adding something to their lifestyle, right? So it's very like action oriented, right? We've got goal in the future, we've got right now, and they want to move toward that. So an example of that, like, oh no, I have an example in a second, I'll share. So the second quality that can happen, or the second process, is discovery. So somebody might want to know themselves more deeply, or want to better understand, like, why do I keep doing this thing? Or why can't I seem to stop obsessing over money? Like, what's going on with that? Or I don't feel like I have a purpose and I just need some help with that. Like, what am I here for? Right. So it's more of like an existential question, or it's more about something that is playing out in themselves or in their lives that they would like to better understand, or like have more perspective around, or I would say like an awareness around. So that session might look like, you know, they come in and they'd like to focus on people pleasing is a really common one. So I keep saying yes to things I want to say no to. Like, I keep saying yes to things that inside I'm like, oh God, no. Raise your hand if you can relate with that. I'm looking at all you. So maybe they come into the session and they're like, I keep doing this thing, and like, I would love to know what it is inside of me that is having this play out. I'm even aware of it. I watch myself do it even sometimes, and I just can't seem to rein it in. What is at play, right? So we get to help them discover where that might be coming from on an internal level, like what thoughts are associated, or what programming might be associated with that, or conditioning or patterns that they picked up from the world. It could even be like, you know, literally the outside world is making demands of them in ways that they feel they have no choice. So there's so much that could be explored there, right? So that's discovery. And then the third one is transformation. So again, a lot of these have a lot of overlap at times, and sometimes it's just like clearly one by itself. And not every coaching session is necessarily transformative. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay if, like, not every coaching session is gonna, like, you know, like hit it out of the park every time and we like reached the goal and we superseded the expectations. Wonderful when that happens, but it's not gonna happen all the time. And so I just wanna speak to that real quickly. So transformation, right? Like, that's a tall order. Like, let's have a transformative coaching session. Like, oh, fuck. Like, how do we do that? But that really is, like, that is the nature of some sessions, where somebody comes in and it's kind of beyond a goal or a vision they have of, like, I want to make more money. And it's kind of beyond this, like, I want to know why I keep people pleasing. And it's, there's something inside of them that's like ready to pop out and like shift their paradigm or shift their reality. They may or may not be aware of it. We may or may not be aware of it, but there's something like brewing underneath. So the people pleasing, I mean, discovery can very oftentimes lead to transformation, where they are exploring this and they have a realization that they're terrified that if they stop showing up for people, if they say no, their reputation, their credibility, and their how much people like them, like that is all going to start crumbling, right? It's like there's this story that it could have some pretty dire consequences. Maybe it will, but we don't know that yet. So in this realization that they're terrified of all of what could happen, right? All of these like future, catastrophic future things happening. And maybe underneath that, they're like, oh my God, I have a fear of abandonment. And we're like, whoa, right? There's this huge aha moment that happens. And it's like, and in that moment, something shifts. Something shifts where there's the future and the past. The future will not be like the past anymore. Like this thing is now different and it will never be the same for them. It's like something happens and it shifts so clearly, or even if it's just the beginning, but something has transformed with the awareness that we help them create, or they created. So an example of this happened yesterday and I was like, yes, this is great to share with you guys. So I was in a session with a client that I've worked with for quite some time, and he was sharing with me that right now he feels like he's struggled a lot in the past with not being able to follow through with lifestyle changes and certain things that he knows are really good for him. Like he'll like get on the horse and he'll be great, and then he falls off, and then kind of black and white thinking paradigm, like when he falls off, it's like he just gives up, right? And this has been a pattern for years. So fast forward, he's been making huge huge changes in the last couple of months, and they're sticking and they're working. So yesterday it became clear that, or I was checking in with him about like where he's feeling his focus point is right now. Like what's up for him, what's alive for him. And he's listening to Personality Isn't Permanent, and he had a great question for me around goals, which led me to ask him, what would you say that your two top, well, he identified that he can only handle two goals at once. Like that happened in our conversation. He's like, oh, I guess I realized maybe one of the reasons I kept falling off before was I was like overloading my plate. So we got to this point of I can only handle two goals at once. And I was like, wow, that's a really important thing to know about ourselves, right? If we have a sense of how much we can have on our plate, we're so much more likely to succeed with what we're trying to do, because we're not like setting ourselves up for disaster. So I asked him, what are the two things you would say right now that would be on your plate then, if you could only have two? And he shared that it would be, he's like, they're related to each other. One is confidence. Like I really want to work on my confidence, and the other one is my health and fitness and diet and exercise and like weight loss. And he's like, they're related because I have a lot of association between how I look, and you know, there's some history there that I won't go into, but there's a really strong connection between how confident he feels about himself and this other piece, right? So we clarified those goals. And so that's kind of the goal vision layer, right? Like that would be in the examples I just gave you guys, those three layers, goal vision layer. But then I'm wondering to myself, and I encourage everybody to do this. When a client says that one of their goals is a word that is used a lot, but not often defined clearly. And there's a possibility that we could all be walking around with different definitions of whatever this word means, right? It's important for us as coaches to not assume that what our client is telling us they want is the same definition that we would have for it. So I took a moment to tune into that, and I explained to him, you know, that exact thing. I was like, I'm going to, you know, ask a question here, and it might sound really, you know, ridiculous, but I just want to make sure that I'm on the same page with what you consider to be the definition of this word. So, and the word is confidence, right? What does confidence mean to you? And so we go into kind of like a discovery, go into this discovery as we're like still in this like vision bowl session. And so I had him, and this is a great, you know, great line of questioning in coaching that help is super helpful for both parties, to ask the person, what does that mean to you? How would you know if you were embodying it? How would you know if you, like, if you woke up one morning and you were like, aha, I'm here. This is, I'm confident. What would be different from right now, right? And like have them identify what that means for them. And to encourage the specificity. So specificity in terms of like how they would know. So in this case, what happened was a very interesting thing. It led into a transformative session. So as we were exploring what confidence means, and he was like, you know, telling me, well, it would be like, if I had this happening in my life and I had this happening in my life. And like, you know, he was sharing the external metrics that he's aiming for in this goal. Like, well, I would have the girl that I want. I would, you know, I would look a certain way. Like he was sharing those kinds of things with me. And I was like, great, great. Okay, cool. We're like honing in on like what might be around you. But how would you know inside of you that you arrived, that you were, that you're like, okay, this is the confidence I have been working toward, right? And we'll take a pause button here, or I'm going to hit the pause button here for a second, because I'm asking this because I happen to know that confidence is, it's a way of being. First of all, it's kind of like overrated, but it's a way of being that we don't have to wait to access. We can start embodying confidence right away. This is some more kind of like advanced stuff, but it's the power of our minds is incredible. So I'm kind of asking these questions to pull out of him. What would be, not only what is his definition so that I know, but like what would be different, and what is it that he believes is going to make him feel confident ultimately, right? So is this making sense so far? Okay, cool. All right. So as we're exploring this, he's realizing, huh, well, even if I got to the point where these things were happening, I don't think even then I would feel confident, because I would still have like a better version of myself that I would want to work toward, whether that was, you know, this or the other. Like, so then I'd be working toward confidence. So he's like, I would never really get there. Maybe confidence isn't, maybe I'm never going to feel confident, or maybe it's always going to be this like future goal that motivates me to move toward it. And so we're like, you know, exploring that. And then there's this, and that was like part of this transformation that happened. And then we started talking about, and I think I shared a little bit with him around be, do, have, and how what we oftentimes, and what science has found too, is that delaying, or we think we're going to be happy when, right? I'll be happy when I have the goal. I'll be happy when I lose the weight. I'll be happy when I quit my job and I'm out of this miserable career. Like, sure, there's probably elements of that that are going to feel better. But the science shows that there's this hedonic treadmill that happens, that whenever we reach a goal, we might sit there for a moment and be like, yeah, like I'm here, this is great. But almost always we're pretty quickly on to the next thing, right? We're like, okay, what's next? What's my next like metric or milestone or, you know, thing that I'm up to? Like we keep going. It's not like our human nature for most people is that we keep going. And so the goalpost is kind of continuously moving, even though we reach our goals. And that if we wait for our satisfaction and our confidence and our happiness until we achieve the thing or we arrive at the goal, we're going to find that it's fleeting, and it's actually, it's like mist. It kind of evaporates because then we want something else. And in psychology, it's called the hedonic treadmill, where we are just kind of in the same place and we keep thinking that the next thing's going to make us happy. And, or if we, you know, can reach a point where we have a lot of fun, like vacations are a great example of a hedonic treadmill. Like, oh, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to feel so much better. And we like do the thing and it feels great. And then it's like, and we go back usually to our, like the resting point or the setting that we were at prior. So our conversation led to this point where he was starting to realize that maybe this goal and vision that he had around looking a certain way and being confident, maybe those actually weren't achievable in the sense of arrival. And then I shared about the be, do, have, and like, so what if it was something that was a every day a way of being that over time you're always working on, so it's always improving, it's, you're always reaching your goal basically, but also never reaching it at the same time. And he had this whole thing happen where he interrupted me. He's like, oh my God, that changes everything. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I shut up, you know, I'm like, what's happening right now? And he's like, that changes everything. I'm 54 years old. How have I made it this far? Like trying to do this and like reach goals. No wonder I keep like messing up and not reaching my goals. Cause like I have it in my head, like thinking that I can, but it's never going to happen. And he was just like, yeah, like all of these like realizations and things clicking for him. And like, he's like, I'm never going to be the same. Like, everything's different. This changes everything. He's like, I can't wait to see how this changes work. I can't wait to see how this changes, like feeling about working out. Like, oh my God, like I don't have this whole thing that happened. So that is transformation like that. And it's not always that like, whoa, but oftentimes there's like, Rich Lippmann calls it his insight moment where someone's like, oh, or there's a, huh. There's some signal that there's been a paradigm shift, or at least that there's been a new thought or like a new opening to something. And that's transformational coaching. That's transformation, because once a paradigm shifts, it's the old one will never come back. It's gone. It's really weird. I don't know how to explain it. When we have an insight, when we have a new model or a new thought or something that feels way more accurate, resonant, and aligned with our well-being, that comes in and replaces the old thing can't hold any water. Not to say the person might not go back to their like behavioral habits a little bit, but for the most part, it can be pretty transformational. So that was an example, like a real life example of those, all three of those coaching, the nature of all three of those like levels, right? Goal and vision and discovery and transformation, they kind of happened in that linear way. And as I was kind of decompressing myself after that session and thinking about how it unfolded, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what I'm talking about tomorrow. That's perfect. So sometimes one leads into the other and they kind of loop back or what have you. But there is a qualitative flavor to each one where, and none of them are necessarily better than the others. I would say transformation is wonderful because that's usually like how we exponentially leapfrog to where we want to go. But goal, vision, and discovery are sometimes monumentally important because they kind of set the stage for that transformation to happen, right? It's like once we coach someone for a while and once we've been coaching for a while, or I shouldn't even say that, like sometimes transformation just happens like out the gate, but most of the time there's some kind of linearity to it. So yeah, so I wanted to share that with you ladies, that there's no like one way or one dimension of a coaching session. There's not even necessarily like a right or a wrong. There's what's serving the client and what's not, of course. But as you do your sessions, you can kind of tune in with this awareness around, okay, this kind of feels like goal visioning, or this kind of feels like, okay, they want to know something more about themselves, discovery, or more about life, or something discovery oriented. or, you know, as the example I gave earlier around like abandonment and like transformation, like some this people pleasing thing. Yeah, it's discovery, but like in order for that habit to change, it's going to take some transformation, right? So we might have a sense that that's where we're headed with them. It's okay if we don't know what kind of session it's going to be. In fact, like it's great to not have any like lenses on, of course, initially, but it is helpful to like notice when, oh, okay, like this is this. And it's also helpful because once we kind of realize what kind of conversation we might be having with the person, you, as you're looking at your powerful coaching questions that you'll probably have next to you as you do this stuff, you can start to kind of parse out which questions would be great for goal envisioning, and you can parse out which lines of inquiry are helpful for discovery, and which questions have, over time, you'll start to kind of collect transformation questions in a bucket or something, like in subconsciously or consciously. But you know, it's helpful to know which tool might be helpful from the bag to serve that. I also want to be mindful that there's no rigidity here. There's no one question for one thing or anything like that. So I'm not trying to make it sound like there is, but you will notice with practice that certain things are a great fit for each of these layers. So. All right, I am happy to take questions, and we'll take a break at 10 after. Who has questions? Kim, we'll take a break at 10 after.
I kind of know this, of course, from you coaching me, but it was a question that popped into my head. Like when you decided to share the be, do, have, like when you're coaching, how do you, is that an intuitive thing where if you hear somebody going and it just pops into your head as something that you can share, like how do you know maybe not so much what to share, but when to share it? Like, do you share it in the session or do you make it like an extended thing that they do at the end, like put it in action steps? Like, how do you know when to do which?
Yeah, great question. Oh my gosh, it 100% depends on the moment, the person, the moment, what's happening. Yeah, all of the above. Yeah, it's really like a feeling into what's happening. So with that particular example, I could see and observe that he was delaying he was telling himself that he needed to get somewhere in order to be happy, right? I could sense that there was a story of inadequacy in the present moment around self. Like, I'm not good enough right now. I want to move toward, because there's a difference in flavor between a goal or vision we want to work toward from a place of like, we're complete right now and we want to move in that direction. And there's this feeling of like, I'm incomplete and there's something wrong with me and I'm not going to be okay until I actually do this thing. So me having sensed that and also knowing that we can conjure, like confidence it's like a story. It's like a belief. It's something that we don't need anything outside to necessarily define unless we make that a rule for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this would be a good time for me to, if the opportunity presents itself, to validate what he's realizing right now around like, oh, well, you know, like it's ever moving and, you know, and to share. And I think the way that I brought that in, he like was talking and then there was a moment of silence and I probably said something like, yeah, like you're totally on track right now. You know, there's a couple of things I want to share with you that really back this up. And I think I shared about the be, do, have, and then the research around if we tell ourselves like external things are going to bring us happiness, then science shows that that's actually not the case most of the time. And I didn't make a whole like oration out of it. I wasn't like, you know, but I tried to keep it brief, but but enough to give him the information that could help him like connect the dots, or at least like give him some more food for thought in the moment. Yeah, but other sessions and calls, right? So with LFP, I'll have, like, if I have a sense that if he wasn't where he was in the process and we were like at time, mm-hmm. but he was like, but I could see that like something was opening and shifting, I probably would have sent him some stuff from LFP about be do have and like, yeah, like the ability to like self-love in the moment and like confidence in the moment or something like that for him to like chew on and digest, which is what I often do with him and you know, audiobooks and stuff for him to like get the, this new stuff to chew on. And then we'll go into the session. So, yes, oftentimes I'll provide the resources between.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was that helpful?
Yes. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. And according to the ICF, we're supposed to ask first and say, like, is it okay if I introduce, you know, a concept or something that I think would be helpful? I don't always do that. Once I have a rapport with my client, like, of course, I'm not going to interrupt and be like, so, you know, hopefully, I mean, let me know if I do this, you guys. I try to like time it, you know, and feel into it. I'm like, so there's this really interesting thing I'd like to tell you about. Yeah, great question, Kim. Anybody else have a quick question? Okay, let's take a 3-minute stretch bathroom break and then we'll come back and we'll do some exercises. Cool. All right. Everybody back at 7:13 or whatever, the 13 after, whatever hour you're at. Cool. All right. I'm happy to do a couple more minutes of questions or like clarify anything for you ladies with regard to what I just shared. Okay. Feeling like you like that's making sense, the how that all unfolded and the different qualities. Okay, great. Herky, Eliana, are you with us? You might still. Okay, so I'm going to share one more thing with you ladies. Powerful questions. So this is where a lot of times there's a lot of nervousness or insecurity because we feel like we don't know what to ask, right? We're like, oh gosh, there's like, this person is telling us this thing and we're trying not to be in level one listening. We're trying not to be in our own heads. We're trying to tune in with them, but we're also like, but I need to ask, you know, I need to ask something. So that moment, it can feel kind of intense as we're, you know, practicing coaching. And I just want to acknowledge that that's totally normal. And as I've said before, please do have your coaching questions, your powerful questions. Like I always, my hands are always gesticulating like this because when I was learning, I had them, as you can imagine, taped all around my field of view, like on my walls and my desk. Oh God. So have them handy and go through and like create your own list of powerful questions that really resonate with you, that you really like, or that as you try them out, like they seem to be really good ones. People give you that feedback where you can just tell that they're helpful. So, and the more that you practice, the more first nature these questions are going to bubble up to your consciousness or intuitively download. And it's, you know, they're not going to be verbatim, the ones on the list all the time, nor should they be, but you'll start to feel into more naturally which bucket, and it'll just become first nature for you. So it will happen with time. I just want to reassure all of you, and it happens with practice. So coach your asses off. I'm going to say it again, buddy up, coach everybody you can. So a few rules of thumb that I'm going to present here. Never, ever, ever, if we can manage, it's not okay to give unsolicited coaching. It's just not okay. But it's a really good way to piss off our friends, family, and partners. I can assure you of that. So be mindful of when you get into coaching mode, even if you don't even, and oftentimes you probably won't even realize it because that's why we do this, because it's first nature for us, right? But be mindful of when you're jumping into the role of coach and read the situation, read the room, read the conversation. Like with, you know, many of my friends and family, it's so fluid and it's just so first nature that like I don't have to announce every time like, hey, like, is it okay if I get into coaching mode or put my coaching hat on? But you know, with other people or new people or strangers, we want to be mindful of not doing that in an unsolicited, because people don't always want to be coached. People don't, surprisingly, even if we're like, oh man, I can help you, like this thing that you're struggling with, right? So if they seem interested in like, hey, like, so what would you do? Or like, what do you think I should do here? Then they're kind of inviting us to step into a collaborative brainstorm with them, right? So another rule of coaching, and when I say rule, I mean like, let's try not to do these things, because they're not very effective. They're not very supportive of coaching. So the next thing when it comes to questions is, Kim, you're going to laugh so hard right now. Try not to ask why questions. Because when I was mentoring Kim last year, we could not with this. So why questions inherently inside of them, when we ask somebody like, so why did you do that yesterday? Or why did you choose this job? Or why anything? Like, why didn't you do your workout yesterday? We're inferring in that question a value judgment. And if we're not in, like, we may not even be inferring a value judgment at all, but that usually when somebody asks us why we made a choice or why we did something, we feel like we need to defend it. Like, we kind of get into this, like, well, I need to reinforce my reasoning behind why I did this thing or what I was thinking, you know, in this thing. And it can kind of get into this, like, reinforcing of the, of, like, a value judgment or a moral judgment around the thing, like, why. So an easy way to, because we're going to, like, why questions naturally are a part of our vocabulary and our lines of thinking. So a great way to reframe it quickly in the moment, which I do sometimes in real time, is to turn it into a what question. So instead of, like, so why didn't you do your workout yesterday? You can say, what got in the way of you following through with your workout plan, like you had set up? Like, what got in the way, or what factors were at play with that, right? So you can turn a why question into a what question, which sometimes sounds like, what did you do yesterday and what got in the way? So sometimes it blends into one word, which Kim and I still might make t-shirts with the word what on the front. But it's a, you can catch it in the moment, you can turn it into a what. If you ask a why question, cool, you're learning, no big deal at all. But try to catch it and then ask it again, but from a what perspective. And practice that, practice turning whys into whats. That's going to be part of your action items this week. Practice turning whys into whats. Like, why don't you believe in yourself? Or, like, why are you so hard on yourself? You know, like, there's like this flavor of you, like, why are you doing this? But if we say, like, you know, what stops you from giving yourself credit when you, you know, kick ass at something, or, you know, there's a different flavor to it. It's less judgy sounding. Does that make sense? Cool. All right. What? And then the third question rule is, let's really try not to ask closed questions. So closed questions are questions, yes or no questions. Again, we're not going to get this perfect all the time. I still do it. I'm like, dang it. But asking closed questions, yes or no questions, is not very helpful because the client's going to answer yes or no, right? So did you work out yesterday? Did you follow through with your workout plan? Yep. Or nope, right? As opposed to, so how did your workout go yesterday? How's that feeling for you? You know, did you feel resistance, or that would be a yes or no, but like asking the opening questions that have them exploring is what we're all about as coaches. So as you go through the powerful questions resources, you'll notice that there are not any why questions. Well, I don't think there's any why questions in there, or yes or no questions, or closed questions as they call them. So just a couple things to keep in mind, and this takes practice. So it's like learning how to drive or play the drums, like I said before, but I did want to bring this up now since you guys are starting to buddy coach. All right, let's go into exercises. Any questions about questions? Okay. I should have all of you ask me a question about questions. That's not any of the rule breakers, but I won't. All right, so let's do an activity. All right. Right now I'm debating whether to put myself in the hot seat. So everybody has, all of you have a chance to do the thing, or put one of you in the hot seat. Maybe we'll do one of each. All right. I'm going to put myself in the hot seat, and I'm going to share a goal that I have, a vision that I have with all of you. And anytime I use examples when I'm in the hot seat or when we're role playing, they're real. Like, my examples are always real. I have full transparency, and I think the more that you all get to see what, like, the life of a coach looks like, and, like, the more real I am about it, the more valuable it's going to be for you. So sometimes the examples that I might be bringing to the table, if I put myself in the hot seat or we're role playing, sometimes those examples might be super real coaching, business, bonds, life, coaching topics. So I'm going to share a goal and a vision with you ladies that I have, and it's real, and it's real strong. And we're going to go round robin, and I would like for you all to help me gain clarity around, like, why do I want this? Why, like, what are my motivations? Why do I have this goal and this vision? So we're going to kind of aim for the first layer of coaching that we talked about earlier. So the goal, vision, discovery, transformation, and there might be some woven into each other, but, and so the objective here is that we want to make sure our clients aren't telling, like, we want to make sure that our clients aren't on autopilot thinking they want something that they haven't really actually thought about or checked in with or defined for themselves. And this will happen all the time in career coaching and relationship coaching, where they're like, oh, I just want a job that I just want to make over six figures, or I just want to date somebody who has, like, you know, their own house and, like, makes good money, whatever, right? So, or I just want to lose weight. Like, I just want to lose weight so I look, you know, look good in a swimsuit or something like that. So we want to make sure that the reasons that they think they want the thing have been uncovered, discovered, and verified, validated before we actually start the journey to help them move toward it, right? Okay. Is this making sense? Cool. All right. So we'll do... We'll do one question each for the sake of time. Yeah, we'll do a round of one question each, and then we'll, like, kind of do a debrief, and then we'll do a different exercise. Okay. So, ladies, I have a very real, and this is super vulnerable, very real goal and vision to have a gorgeous retreat center on at least 50 acres with a villa and, like, little cabanas and workshop spaces and have activities all the time. It's like my one of my biggest dreams has always been to have this. And I have gremlins that are like, are you crazy? Like, are you delusional? What are you thinking? Yeah, right. Do you have $10 million right now? No. So there's resistance that comes up around it, which thankfully I've learned to, like, resistance isn't going to stop me necessarily, but let's utilize this, and I'm going to offer this up as, I want this villa and this retreat center so badly. So help me uncover my motivations. I will start. Who wants to start? Volunteers? Okay, I'm just going to go around in the circle as I see you guys. I'll start with you, Kim.
Okay, so you have this vision and this dream, which seems big, but you want it. And so tell me what, or I'm curious to know how you would feel if you had this.
On the top of the world. Oh my God. I feel it. I would feel so badass, like, so complete, because it's been a lifelong dream of mine. It's like, it's the impossible dream. So I would feel probably every day I'd be like, is this real life? Kind of like how I feel now, but, like, it would be amplified by, like, times 20. I would feel, in a way, I would feel, what's the word, like, capable of what I actually wanted to do despite the statistics or whatever. And I would also feel like I would be able to contribute at the level that I want to, which is so important to me, to, like, have all of you come down to the retreat center and, like, learn stuff and play and have meals and learn new modalities and fly in experts and stuff. Like, I would feel like my contribution to my community would be like a 10 in that. That would feel amazing.
So capable and contribution seems to line up with what you want in your life.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Good question. Cool. Aliana, what you got for me?
First of all, that's an amazing vision. Okay, so what in particular about this goal makes you feel alive? When you start thinking about this, what senses do you start feeling?
Wow. So I don't know. I don't believe in destiny. Like, we're, like, destined. I believe in free will. But there's something about this goal, this vision. It's more of a vision than a goal, I would say, because it feels like any time in the last 17 years that I've checked in with, if I was totally thriving, what would that look like? Like, what does thrive for my life look like? It's always been this. It's always been here. So it's this sense of coming home in a way. And it's like, I see the beautiful, like, colors of the rooms that are colorful. And I, like, the really artistic, ornate, like, I can see it really visually, like, what the space is like. And it's not always the same necessarily, but, like, it has the same flavor and quality. And just seeing the people I love that are a part of this, like, world-changing movement, seeing them, like, having conversations in the corner, or, like, imagining all of us doing, like, yoga on the beach or something like that. Like, it's all of my senses are just, like, phew.
That's so beautiful. We're only allowed one question.
If you have a follow-up, go for it.
Okay, so you said you said something about artistic. Mm. What did you envision? Any colors? Anything in particular that sparked up for you?
Yeah, really bright. I'm all about bright colors, like red. I mean, my brand colors are bright red, turquoise, and bright green and gold. Bright colors. Yeah, bright colors everywhere. Lots of, like, you know, handcrafted things from around the world. Like, I love Mexican decor. Like, the villa for the retreat was like, oh, my God, it just needed some brighter walls, and I would have been like, we're here. yeah, it's definitely, like, Mexican-Moroccan flavor with, like, a lot of global touches to it.
Mm. I can envision that.
Yeah. Oh, this is really exciting, guys. Herky, what you got for me?
To be honest, Fawn, I wanted to ask the why question, because for any business, usually you start with why, right? Why do you want to start a business? So I was wondering if there are exceptions to that, because you made me hone my why so many times. It was payback time. No. One is that, and the... So what I want to move towards is what is stopping you from making this vision a reality?
$10 million. yeah, let's keep it simple. $10 million.
I know there is, I know this is not, I'm going to get the right question. If anybody is ready, it's fine, but I do want to ask you a follow-up question.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm also, just so you know, I'm kind of being like...
I know.
So what might, I'll field it to Ashley, what might a follow-up question to that be if you asked that question and I said, oh, $10 million, and I was just like, that's the problem.
Well, that's a good question. I guess let's get creative here and... think outside of the box a little bit. Where could that $10 million come from?
Right. So I guess something that just occurred to me, and this is honest, something that just occurred to me is like, maybe I'm perceiving the goal as the $10 million. Like, I'm like, oh, my goal is this like retreat center villa, but subconsciously I have a story that it's like, I have to have the $10 million in order to get the villa, right?
Right.
So where would I get the $10 million? I have the story that either, I have a story that I want to earn it. I want to manifest that stuff, but I'm going to earn it by scaling my businesses and empowering my community to get involved with their own stuff and my stuff, and LFP grows and maybe I start a startup and make a bunch of money. But basically there's a story that like, I have to figure out how to do that. Like I have to figure out how to become like a savvy minted multimillionaire to make this happen. So that's kind of where my line of thinking has been. I would think outside the box, like maybe investors, maybe sugar daddies, just kidding.
Or Sarah Blakely, I don't know.
Or Sarah Blakely. Mm-hmm. Right, start making the right kinds of friends, just kidding. Herky, what's your follow-up? And again, let's point this back to like, why do I have this vision goal? We're still kind of in it, but I just want to remind us that we're in that focus.
Every time I think of a question, so I'm thinking pretty much the same example you gave, that client thinks that if he loses weight, he'll be confident. But really there's another story. So I'm thinking like, you're thinking that $10 million will give you the retreat, but there's something else. And I want to unpeel the layer. And I wanted to ask you, if you woke up tomorrow with the $10 million, what would that look like? Be happy, I'll start the retreat center. But let me ask you that. So if you did have the $10 million, what would that look like to you?
I would probably fall out of bed with shock. What would that look like if I had $10 million? Man, I would have my, like, on the one hand, it's like, well, that would be a huge surprise if it was tomorrow and I had $10 million. But if it was like, you know, flash forward, I have the $10 million, what does that look like? What would be different? I would have like systems, really great systems, like financial and wealth systems, like set up. Like I would be really, I'd have my like money would just be like something that I'm a super ninja at. And this would be a wise, like the 10 million would be like, yep, okay, the time has come. Let's go villa shopping. it wouldn't be, at least the feeling I have around it. So it would be like, I don't know if this is answering your question, but. It'd be amazing and it would feel right timing. But if it was tomorrow, I would be like, somebody is going to lose their job because they put the wrong money in the wrong account. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to Leah.
So I'm hearing a little bit about the 10 million and your desire to make a contribution to your peer group and your purpose and what you do. And so I just want to ask you some questions that clarify for me which one of those things we're focused on. So how would it feel for you if it was sort of a co-op villa where you went in with some of your peer group and partners rather than bearing the burden of this $10 million hurdle that's in your way? What would that feel like for you? Would that open doors or take away?
In an optimal setting, it would be great. Yeah, it's like right people, right friendships, everything's aligned. Like, yeah, that would be wonderful.
So what about other avenues that weren't necessarily partnerships? What other options could you think of that could get you there?
There's probably a lot. And I'm going to nudge you to get curious about why the goal and why I have this goal and vision.
So I heard you say, yeah, I heard you say that your goal was to make a contribution to coaching and the lifestyle and to have experts and peers in one central place. So tell me a little bit more about that. Is there more?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. In my experience, there are some places that I've been, some places on this planet that are like beyond retreat centers. They're places where magic happens and innovation is created and people are in the same room that would never be in the same room otherwise. And these places are known for being these like creative think tanks in a way, but also leading edge. We're changing the world and we like know it, but we're not attached to it. We're just going to like see what happens when we're all around each other learning and growing and stretching. And some of the, I think that's how powerful things can become, like be created and or taught or learned. Or also it can accelerate, I think, the innovation of the world. It's kind of like an incubator in the startup world, but like infused with badassery and spirituality. So having experienced that and seen that and witnessed that, like that's all, I just want to be there all day. Like, I just want to like learn and listen and contribute and create. And I just have this like this understanding that, or a faith maybe, that in creating this, if you book them, they will come. If you build it, if I build it, magic things will happen. Yeah.
So do I get another follow-up or is it someone else's turn?
Thanks for asking. Let's look at the time. Thanks for checking in. Let's wrap there because we're going to go into another one. Wow, guys, I just went to like a different planet. That was fun. Let's do a debrief. So questions. We'll do 5 minutes of debrief from that round. Questions, confusions, clarifications.
You took me on a virtual tour.
Yay. Awesome. Yeah.
So, like I said, my question was, is it okay to, because it's so important to know why you want to begin. You spoke of a client has a goal. So you have a goal, for example, if you look at it as a goal of opening a retreat, going deeper into why you even want to go into for a client in this case is very important to know. Mm-hmm. And then you said it's the $10 million. And I mean, my hunch is saying that it's more of who am I to open a retreat? That's probably circulating in the layers somewhere. Or I don't know. This is again, maybe I'm projecting. But a few other things like this. So something I also, you said about discovery, goal, transformation. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember it now, but it was seeming like that. So because if I say, you say I want to open a retreat. Okay, fine, let's start tomorrow. So right. A year from now, we will save $15,000, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. That would be a cold goal setting wherein, you know, not exactly understanding why you're doing it.
That's what that round was to illustrate, to help, like, why unpack, what's important about it to me.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, and just a lot of, it's very interesting to see what will unfold, but, no other question.
Or maybe I'm missing what you're saying, Kirk. Are you...
So one of my questions was, is it okay to ask why? In certain situations.
Yes, and that's, so the ICF right? So there's the rules, but we're going to ask why questions, and sometimes they're really valuable and they make more sense than anything else. But usually there's a way, there's a different way to ask the question that could hold more value or more opening or more insight. So to speak to the, like, your question around what's motivating this goal, like, what's my big why? Totally. Like, that's what that round was, you know, to invite, is like, tune into or help me, like, unpack, like, what is my big why around this? So instead of saying, like, why is this important to you? Like, that's one way to ask it. Like, why does this matter? Why is this important? There are ways to, like, as many of, you know, many of you brought up in your questioning, like, what is it about this that that feels important to you, or what will that do for you, or what would it be like if you woke up tomorrow? So there's just usually, like, using a not why question supports the inquiry a little bit more deeply, or a lot more deeply than a why question would. But I want to be clear and like delineate that helping somebody identify their big why is totally a different thing. Yes, like, let's dive into big why. Let's help them explore their big why, right? And that's just the phrase that's used, or the like North Star, but usually big why is the phrase that's used. Like, what is your big why? Like, what is it about this that is, like, come hell or high water, you're moving toward it, right? Because they don't have any rules about using why questions. It's just on a technique side, on our side, we can use questions that are not why questions. But was that helpful? I don't know if that spoke to any part of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, the digging into and going deeper with what's holding them back, what their goal vision is, and then, you know, what is actually holding them back, or what do they think needs to happen in order to get them there. It could very well be that they don't see themselves, you know, that I don't see myself as somebody who would have that or something. That's really common. Thankfully, I've worked through that part for myself, but for many years that was there. So it's a really good hunch that you had. Yeah. Oftentimes there is something about, like, worthiness or deserving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are layers to it, you know, like, worthiness, they say, everyone, usually I hear the big speakers also saying that they reach this level and then they've crossed it, and then there's another whole new level, and then there's another level wherein even at the highest level, mm-hmm. this is another new set of things that come up. So that's what yep.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the comfort zone stretch is is pretty much all the time if we're growing. Yeah, but there's a difference between, like, I don't think I'm, you know, deserve, or I, like, who am I to have that retreat, then becomes like, you know, I just need to figure out how to make it happen. You know, like, it's not about deserving it or not, or like, I'm not good enough. Like, that stuff can kind of, like, gets worked out, or sometimes gets worked out, and then it's more about, like, really leaning into it,
mm-hmm.
really moving toward it.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes it could be what we hear, information we hear from another place could be projected onto you. For example, I heard, this could be, I'm just going into my mind, this could be coming from, because Shefali, Dr. Shefali, she said she went to Oprah, that was her, like, big thing that you wanted to, and then she opened a coaching institute, and she would think she's been to Oprah and now she's gained this familiarity, but she shared how it was, again, a whole new set of variables, you know, again, coming through where opening her own coaching institute. So for me, it was like, maybe once you reach one level and then you want to be another level, and then you work through that again. But,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much accuracy to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, thank God, so far at least, I've done so much work on my value in the world, and, like, whether I deserve something or I don't deserve something, or if I'm worthy, or who am I, like, that I no longer give a fuck. Like, honestly, I'm like, I'm I'm moving toward my North Star. I'm going to change the world. So, but that's not, you know, not to say everybody hits that point or that I won't feel that way next week. I don't know. But yeah, right now that's not something that seems to be like something I need to do in order to get there. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And it's totally okay to, you know, like if had you fielded that question to me and I would have been like, no, that's not so much really in there. You're like, okay, well, now we know. Or if you sense that I'm just blind to my own stuff, then like keep digging in from different angles too. That's fine. So yeah. Okay. Let's do another exercise. I'm going to put somebody else in the hot seat, and I think I'm going to pop. I'll exit this round too for time. So, all right, this exercise, similar, we're going to do round robin. And last week today we talked a little bit about the be, do, have model. So, and the thought, behavior, results, right? So if we see if someone's having a certain result in their life or their life is a certain way, then they've created that, and they've created that from a place of thinking, right? So everything can be traced back to thought. Everything can be traced back to their beliefs, their stories, their assumptions, their programming, their conditioning. They're originating from in here. And then it is created in the outside world, right? So we're going to do a reverse engineering exercise. And I invite a volunteer who is experiencing a certain result in their life, like their life is showing up a certain way, and it's kind of been going on for a while, and you would like to, like, why, what is going on? Like, why do I keep getting this result, right? And then we will, or the group will take turns getting curious about what stories, beliefs, or thoughts might be happening that could be having your life, or not your life, but like this thing, this result happen, right? So getting curious about how the thought part of this is generating the result. So we're not trying to problem solve. We're not trying to take it any further than that. We're just going to stay in like this little snippet, this little section of what happens when we reverse engineer this. Does that make sense? Cool. So we can get curious about what behaviors led to that result. We can get curious about what are our beliefs about. I mean, we can ask that directly. That's pretty jargony for a client. How they're thinking, how they're thinking might be getting in the way of seeing other possibilities. And all right. We'll start with taking a volunteer who would like some support and curiosity about something that's showing up in their life. Anybody have anything going on? Doesn't have to be super personal, or it can be. It might be like, why am I like, gosh, I just want to figure out why I can't seem to get more than 6 hours of sleep per night, or why can't I, you know, I seem to be holding myself back from putting myself out there, what have you.
So I would like to explore why I love having and raising children, and then when they move out and become functional, I feel traumatized and like failure.
Okay, ladies, we're gonna have a 4-hour coaching session tonight. Oh no, let's stay with it. Let's see what we can do here in 7 minutes.
I'm
Okay, so I'm going to help like laser into it and then we'll put it in motion. So what is the thing that you'd like to have more understanding around, like specifically? Can you laser in on like, why, what's showing up here? Why is it showing up?
Okay, so lasering it in, probably my fear of them not being at home when I should be confident in who I raised in my relationship with them.
Nice.
Fear.
Why do I have fear about them not being home and coming home when I raise them to be able to be capable? And they're at that age and it's fine. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't understand. Yeah, you said the fear of you, them going away, leaving the house, and being on their own. Like
correct.
Fearing for them versus you.
Correct.
Nice clarification. Well, yeah.
The boogeyman might get them.
Okay, so let's see what we can do to get curious about what might be at play here. I'll start with you, Herky. You kind of opened it up. That was a great clarification question.
I'm going into, you said about thought, behavior, and result. So I'm just trying to see if result is the feeling of having that fear. And I'm trying to find out what is bringing that fear. Okay. What do you fear, Leah, about the kids?
I fear that I have raised really loving and trusting people, and that I may not have told them there's almost as many not nice people in the world, and they might come across one of those and get taken advantage of. That's probably my biggest fear. Someone will lead them astray from the core belief system that we've come up with in our family.
So you have a fear that someone will lead them astray. Okay.
To things that could harm themselves or others, choices, lifestyles, whatever.
And while you believe in, you trust in the way you've done the parenting and raised them with the core beliefs, but you feel they still might be vulnerable to outside influences.
Right. I don't think that I've exposed them enough or talked enough about people that might have ulterior motives.
I'll pass the baton. Okay. Go ahead and ask your follow-up question, Herky. That's fine. And I'll move.
Go ahead. Whoever is ready.
Okay. All right. Ashley, it's to you.
So what do you think telling them about people, bad people, people with ulterior motives, what do you think that will do? How will that impact this fear you have?
I don't think that it would help my fear, other than maybe they would be more equipped to see that. But at the same time, I didn't want that to be their focus in this world, or I didn't want them to be afraid of that in people. So now I'm afraid that I didn't prepare them for those kinds of people. So I don't know that telling them would help. Maybe I just need to be okay with them having some of those experiences that make us who we are. Right? We've all got experiences that we learned from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The hard way.
It's totally possible.
That's probably what I need to focus on, is rather than what's causing the fear, how I can let go of the fear and be okay with them experiencing pain.
Right. Yeah, let's follow that. We can shift into that. Ash, do you have a follow-up question? I'll pass it to Kim if not.
I did, but now it just left me. Shit. Yeah, pass it. It literally just left me.
You're pushing power 12 of your day. It's okay.
So I guess in now realizing that you should maybe be okay with them, dealing with that pain of knowing that, I'm curious of how you learned to deal with people like that.
Most definitely the hard way. Sort of collected mean, hurtful people and tried to make them not mean and hurtful for a long time. And then learned to create boundaries for myself, but also better be able to recognize people that can see who I am and what I can bring and use me for that. So I learned that the hard way, but I did keep a lot of people like that in my life early on.
How willing are you to allow them to have that experience, knowing how yours turned out?
I think that's probably what bothers me the most, is it doesn't matter whether I'm willing or not, it's probably going to happen to them.
Yeah.
And that's where the fear base comes in, of how much harm will be caused to them, how long or easy will their recovery be from these hard lessons, all of those things.
Yeah, that's understandable. You are talking my language, lady.
Right?
It was about to be 18 and 19, so I feel, yeah.
24, 19, and about to be 18.
Oh, bless you.
Three left.
I'm with you, though. I'm with you.
Yes. Save the babies from the pain. Unfortunately, we can't.
All right, Aliana.
I hear you, Leah. So our babies eventually grow up. Okay, so when you're in this mommy zone, what sets you off in that fear tangent?
Each one of my young adult children have a particular person in their life that I perceive to be guiding them to a place where they could harm themselves or others. And so that's what sets it off, is knowing that they are spending time with that person or doing a overnight activity with that person, or going, you know, on a trip with that person, or there's a prolonged amount of exposure with that person. That's when I am most scared for them.
I hear you. I don't have another question.
Okay. I'm going to hit refresh on the question, and we'll go back around to anybody that, if it comes up for you ladies, just go like this. So Leah's tuning into, how can I let go of the fear of this version of the fear, right? How can I let go of that? Does anybody have a question to...
What behaviors could your kids display that would put your fears at ease?
I think if they kept in touch more when they're with those questionable people, or if they were interested in having discussions about their relationship with those people, so we could find out why they're attracted to those people, why they're keeping them in their lives when they've all agreed and identified that they are harmful to them in a lot of ways.
Okay. So can I ask, is it their, oh, I hope this isn't a yes or no question, but I'm going to try it. Is it that you want them to acknowledge that this person is bad for them, or is it that you want them to be able to handle that person? Is that a...
I want them, yeah, to be able to handle that person or any person like them, create boundaries for themselves and be able to recognize dangerous red flag behavior, as opposed to going, yes, that person's done all these terrible things to me and made me cry all these times, but they're going to this cool thing I'm going to go with them for, so I'll continue to endanger myself and compromise my well-being and hang out with them. So I think to answer this question specifically, it's I want them to have the behaviors, not just recognize that person.
Okay, I'm going to hop in. What is it about the fear that you don't want?
I don't want to inhibit their ability to experience life and learn lessons like the rest of us, because my fear and my desire to protect my children can sometimes become an enabling relationship. And can override their ability to learn and grow as people. So that's my fear of overstepping my bounds and preventing them from acquiring those abilities that I want them to, or not stepping in enough, and then they get hurt in a way that is not easy to recover from. Too much or too little is my fear. Mm-hmm.
Anybody have a follow-up question? We'll start wrapping out here, too. Okay. All right. What would it take for you to shift into acceptance of the unknown and the uncontrollable?
I think probably journaling more about it and realizing no one has died yet, and so the percentage of likelihood that would occur is very minimal, and so I can breathe a little easier and allow them those experiences. I think journaling and being able to look back at having a 24-year-old that I experienced this with and, you know, it's been 6 years and he's still alive and everything's okay. And a 19-year-old that's done the same. And I think, Fawn, there's probably a lot I'm not saying to keep it less personal, but you know that the daughter I'm dealing with is my firecracker, so the relationship's a little bit different there.
Mm-hmm.
So the journaling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Leah. Thanks for letting us.
Yeah, thanks, ladies. Yeah. That helped a lot.
Yeah. All right. We are over time, so anybody that needs to hop off, raise your hand, and we shall bless you. And anybody who is able to – okay. Thank you, Aliana. Thank you for being here. Anybody that is able to share a takeaway either of that round or of this like session overall tonight. We'll do a quick takeaway round. Does that sound okay? Anybody into it? Okay, cool. I'll share a reflection on this. This will be my takeaway from that round. It was amazing to see the realization that happened from why am I so afraid to how can I let go of the fear? How can I be okay with what is probably inevitable, right? It's like, that was a pretty cool shift to watch. Nice. All right, takeaways, ladies. It can be from today's call or from that hot seat round. I'll go to you, Kim. Thank you.
The last question you asked about being okay with the unknown, I was like, oh my God. Like, I just felt like that's what you keep trying to tell us is that, you know, it's okay not to know. Like, it's, and maybe to, so I felt like, dang, you know, like, how do you do that? You know, I started to feel like I was in the hot seat with her. Yeah. Like, oh my God, how do you not know, you know, especially about your kids or, but I realized how broad that was for anything, your career, your health, just anything. It just like opened up a huge thing. And I was like, oh my God, I can ask that, you know? So yeah, thank you. It's great.
Oh my God, I love that, Kim. Yay. How fun that that hit you like
I think
that.
Along those lines, overall, all fun.
You're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if it's just my side.
Chapter and the role play coaching. Being in the hot seat and watching you now without my video.
Leah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, much better. Can you start all over from the top?
Oh, sorry. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just saying overall, I think that the questions, at like Kim was saying, being able to have a particular toolbox of poignant questions rather than trying to customize each one to the conversation is really important to be able to keep the flow going and make sure that you're asking really broad, open-ended questions instead of trying so hard to keep them customized, which can narrow the response that you can get.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's what I took overall from this whole week of activities.
Whoa. Wow. Cool. All right. So knowing when to like have a zoom out question, like a 10,000 foot question, and when to have a closer to the ground question, and like how to.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, questions, like Coactive talks about this, but like questions are, we're guiding somebody's experience through asking them questions. We're like fully, you know, supporting an intentional trajectory in a way without leading them. So yeah, that's a really great observation that like if we get too narrow, we can get kind of stuck in the weeds sometimes, or maybe it gets like so specific that it's not really helpful. And maybe we need to like come back out and be like, all right, let's regroup here, or, you know, 10,000 foot question. Cool. Thanks, Leah. Herky.
So just like Kim, the last question was golden. What you asked for, what would it take for you to shift into acceptance of the unknown? I even wrote it down.
Mm.
For me, it was like, I wanted to say that so much, but I didn't want to sound preachy and I didn't have it in a question format. You know, I could like, it was more the same thing around acceptance of the unknown, but then I was like, I don't want to make a statement, and I didn't know how to make a question out of it. And when you said it was such a beautiful question because it helps us shift from our thinking, you know, from where it's, you know, going to the root of it. And if somebody is feeling like that, acknowledging, you know, what they're feeling, why they're feeling, and then being able to offer something also for that, for further exploration. That was a very good question. I'm going to write it to one of my list of questions.
Awesome. Yay. Yeah. So glad that resonated. Wow. Awesome. Hint, ladies. So when somebody is wanting to be less afraid, when they're wanting to be okay with less control, like we all have this illusion that we have control in life over like events and circumstances and how things turn out. We don't. We really don't. We have this much control given all the variables on this planet, right? So what people, when they're like, I wish I wasn't afraid of being on stage, or I wish I wasn't afraid of this or that, usually what they're truly wanting is to be able to be okay with the unknown and okay with the seemingly like unokayable, you know, like to be in acceptance of like, yeah, that might happen and it might really suck. Like that's a possibility.
And sometimes they ask you to counter that. They say, what if you were not afraid? But in this case, it almost would seem like I'm not acknowledging what, you know, Leah is saying, or not understanding her pain, versus just saying, what if you did not? But this question, the way you asked it, was like, at least I felt it was like a golden shifting moment, you know, because she said, I'll journal, I'll see the percentage, allow them the experience or whatever. So it was like seeing the interaction is very nice.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, anytime someone's telling you what they don't want, ask yourself, get curious about like, what might they want instead? What might they, right? Because there's always one coin. Yeah. discontentments and longings, right? Awesome. Thanks for the feedback. I'm so glad that I asked that golden question.
You should register or trademark that question.
Funny. Oh, it's because I fall asleep and wake up to Alan Watts and Eckhart Tolle every day. So maybe it's getting in there finally. Ashley, take away.
Yes, love that question. It's similar to what Herky said about like having it's like figuring out that question on the spot, or in terms of error. You have a statement to say, but how, like turning it into a question. That was one thing. And then the other thing is, it's a lot harder to do this when there are other people on the phone. So I don't, yeah. So I need to get over that, but I don't know. I feel like I think some of it comes to, I'm more probably in tune to that person when it's just us like one-on-one. And so as opposed to here where there's other people watching you, and that's in the back of my mind too.
Yeah.
So it takes you out of it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So it relates with what Ashley's sharing, like who it feels that way a little bit here on these calls. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for speaking to that and being honest about it. There's elements present in this group dynamic of it, where there's other people, there's a time limit,
right?
We're like going around and we're like, you know, being timely about it. And then, like you said, the ability to really drop in with the person, it's hard to do that when we're like in like a little container. It's kind of like speed coaching when Rich Litman had us do speed coaching, right? Like, so thank you for speaking to that. And I acknowledge that this is not representative necessarily of a one-on-one session. And it's so valuable to be in this kind of discomfort and in presence with other people, because it has our brains thinking in different ways, and hearing other people's insights, ideas, questions, et cetera. It's just a different flavor. It's a different experience. But yeah, totally, totally resonate though. Totally feel you on that. All right, ladies. So thanks for playing tonight. Really, you guys are doing great with your ability to juggle all the balls, right, that you've been learning. Really fun. And I I totally realize that there's a lot to keep track of. Like, coaching's not as easy as people make it look, right? Like, oh, coaching, like, ah. But no, you're doing great, and we'll take this next week, or next 2 weeks, so we'll wrap back around on an official class in 2 weeks. Be proactive. The more you practice this stuff, the more you listen to the recordings, the more you read the book, the more you practice with each other, the more you listen back to your own recordings, like, and please do that. Like, coach your asses off, record those coaching sessions and listen back. And don't be critical of yourself in the sense of like, oh God, why did I ask that? But notice when you're like, oh, like, okay, I could have, or like, oh yeah, that was great. Like, you know, the more we have to reflect on, the more acute our senses are going to get about it. So homework-wise, I'll post that in the Facebook group. I won't go over that right now, but a continuation of what we've been going over, a little bit of new material, and I'll just be holding office hours next week at this time, so you can drop in and ask questions, or we can do practice coaching or what have you. I'll be here, but it's not mandatory, so if you need the night off or whatever, go for it. Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. Great job. Yeah, you really helped me get in touch with my Villa Retreat Center. Like, God, I swear that thing is real. I could just, like, reach through my imagination and, like, touch the wall. All right. Lots of love to all of you. Have a beautiful night. Bye.